In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
I love these people that have gone to heaven. It's wonderful. Oh yeah, they've gone to heaven. They've seen the glory. I think it's so beautiful. Well, let me tell you about my trip to heaven. I'm like nobody else. I went to heaven. I was in the seminary. And this was the day I thought I was going to take my nervous breakdown. Have you ever had a day like that? Yeah. That you just were coming apart. Yeah. My whole being was coming apart. My head was like a ping pong table. Bum, 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 bum. My thoughts were crazy. They were just like they were nuts. And I'm thinking, today's the day. I'm going to do it today. I'm going to just flip out. I tell you, it wasn't funny that day. So I went into the library where nobody was. They never went to the library. And I'm in a corner. And I cover my head with my hands and I pray the deepest prayer. Help! That's all I could say. I had no other words. Help! In an instant, I was brought before the throne of God. But it was all darkness. I was at the throne. I knew where I was. At the throne. It was complete darkness. And all the ping pong balls stopped. For an instant. And in an instant, I was back. And I knew. This was the day when I wasn't going to take my nervous breakdown. That's real. I'm telling you the truth, okay? I don't mince words. That I went before the throne of God. I knew I was in the holy presence of God. Everything stopped within me. For an instant. Then I was back. And still the thoughts ponged and pinged. But I knew it was okay. It was okay. It was okay. Everything was all right. I saw the Lord only in darkness. But I saw him. Not with my eyes. But I knew him. I knew where I was. I knew where I was. And nobody could convince me otherwise. Nobody. It was my second year in the seminary. A very interesting thing happened to me. People would all come to me and tell me their problems. They wouldn't kind of be near me during the week because they didn't want to be around me because I was kind of different. But when they had troubles, they knew who to come to. It's really true. So this young man comes to me. Name is Mark. And he says, "I'm so upset." I said, "Let's take a walk." "Where are we going?" Because we're going to Chandler's Pond, right around the corner from the seminary. I said, "Okay." We take a walk to Chandler's Pond. I said, "You sit on the grass. I'll sit in the grass, and now tell me why you're so upset." He said, "They asked me to leave." I said, "Who asked you to leave?" He said, "The E and A board, evaluation, and I don't know what, that's all gone so many years ago. They asked you to leave. I have to pack my bags tonight. I'm broken hearted." So I started to tell him about Jesus, the Good Shepherd. I said, "He's going to shepherd you, Mark. You're going to be gone, but you know what? He's not going to leave you. And if you have a vocation, you're coming back. And I know it stinks. I know it's awful. I know your heart is broken. But you know what? The Good Shepherd's not going to leave you, Mark. He's going to be with you. He's going to be with you. And things, you're going to learn things this year that you never would have learned in the seminary. And with that, I'm looking at the seminary. It looks like a castle. It does. Looks like a castle. The next day, people were going to be ordained. And around the castle was the glory of God. Like I saw it around the castle. It was the glory of God. And I'm going, like I'm listening to Mark, and I'm looking at the glory. I know what I'm seeing because I experienced it in my conversion. And the whole place was wrapped in the glory of God. And I said, my gosh, it must be a powerful thing to be ordained that the glory of God is around this place. So I finished with Mark, and I went back to my bedroom because I had to finish the last paper. It was the spring, and I walked into my room, messy as it was. The window was open, and the glory was coming through the window. Honest to Pete, the glory was coming through the crack that was open in the window. I just saw something come down like a raindrop right up there. I don't know, might have been a moth. But the glory was coming down, coming through the window. And I had forgotten what I saw outside. And I thought again, I said, that's the glory I saw around the seminary. And I said, what should I do? Should I do my paper? Or should I sit in the glory? So I sat in the glory. But again, my head was just ping-ponging. It wasn't a nervous breakdown, but I had to get my stuff done. But I knew I could feel this presence coming through the window. It's like real. And I say, you know, Lord, this wonderful stuff, like, you got to keep on doing this stuff to other people too. Like, I've been captured by the glory. Somewhere along the line, he captured me. He took hold of me. I am not telling you I haven't gone through hard times. I tell you, there's been some times that I didn't think I was going to make it through the night. But I'm telling you, he'd been faithful every minute. Even when it seemed that he was far off. Even when it seemed that he was gone. Even when it seemed that I was left out. He was faithful. And I'm going to tell you the trick. This is so interesting. I don't know how he does it. But he does it. I can be in the lowest of the lowest of the lows. And then it's time for me to preach. The people who know me know this is true. I'll go and preach in front of that microphone as if I'm seeing the beatific vision. That's real. That is so real. And I say, Lord, I don't understand this. I feel like, you know, I feel like a penny waiting for change. Now it's time to preach, and all of a sudden I'm like this plant that's so withered, and all of a sudden it gets perked up because the water was put in it, and then I open my mouth, even though I don't know what I'm going to say, I start opening my mouth. One day I went to the radio studio. I wasn't having a hard day or a bad day. It was just a regular day, and when we got to the studio, I was with the young man from Ethiopia. He was living with me for 18 months. We went together. He says, hey, Father Tom, what are you going to talk about today? I said, I have no idea. I said, usually I have a thought. I have no idea what I'm going to talk about today. I said, I hope it just comes out because I haven't got an idea. So we get in the place and they play the music. And in front of the microphone, there's a thing that says, speaker. That's what it says. And I said, good afternoon, it's Father Tom. Today I'm going to be speaking about speaking. I'm going to be speaking about speaking. I said, I'm going to tell you evangelization is all about speaking. Speaking about Jesus. Speaking about what he does. Speaking about who he is. I'm going to be speaking about speaking today. That's what I'm speaking about. I got a word from the Lord. It said speaker. It was right in front of me. So what am I going to speak on? I'm going to speak about speaking. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, I start saying. And how are they to hear unless someone is sent? And I start speaking about speaking. I was once on my way to the radio studio. This one was in Quincy. It still is. But I had to go to Quincy to do it. And I got stuck on the bridge. Tobin Bridge, Mystic Bridge. I don't care what you call it. It's the bridge. And they had no tape. I had a couple of quarters in my hand. I did the program from the top of the bridge, from the telephone booth. And the operator would say, your time is up, and I put another quarter in. Your time is up, another quarter in. I wish I had that tape, honest to Pete, because it was... You do what you have to do. That's what you do. You do what you have to do. Conditions might not be perfect. The bridge might be swaying. The only thing you've got is a telephone booth. At that time, there were telephone booths. We didn't have cell phones. They're like, this is beyond, you know? And I say, Lord, I don't know how you make this stuff work. Because you know what? I don't know what I'm doing. I was on my way to the radio studio. Listen to this one. I didn't have a word. And I'm saying, Lord, I don't have a word. And in front of me, there was a garbage truck. And it stunk. Oh, I said, I know what I'm going to talk about today. I know exactly what I'm going to talk about today. So I start talking. I said, you know what? I was on my way here. Didn't have a word. But I have one now. Lord told me what to tell you. This is what he said. You have a lot of garbage in your life. Things that you never would choose. Things that are rotten. Things that are decaying. Is that what you have in your life? I says, give it to Jesus. Put it in the core of your being. It's going to become fertilizer. Fertilizer. All these miserable things that's happening to you, they don't have to defeat you. It's going to become fertilizer. If you give it to Jesus, it'll all rot and it's going to pop up. You're going to have a crop and you're going to help other people who are crazy like you. Other people have garbage. They don't know what to do with their garbage. That's true. The best people are the people that had a lot of garbage that went into their hearts and they gave it to Jesus and it started to rot, and it was he transformed the garbage into fertilizer, and they knew what people go through because they weren't playing around. They had gone through this valley of the shadow of death so many times, and they knew that valley of the shadow of death is where the fertilizer came from, and they became fertile soil for the Lord, and they could touch the people that are going through the same garbage, same manure. That's real, because that's life. I go tell you, everybody might not be able to identify with the presence of God, but everybody identifies with suffering. There's every person suffers. They might hide it. They might put masks on. They might smile. They might get a new smile from the dentist. I'm telling you, everybody knows what it is to suffer. And so I know the sufferer, and I know he understands those who suffer. And unless you suffer, you cannot help other sufferers. A lot of people don't say these things. I don't know why people don't say these things. Because they're true. It's always something wonderful and lovely and light and beautiful and everything's good. When people's lives are falling apart, they don't know their left hand from their right like the Ninevites. So you start sharing your garbage. You start sharing your pain. You say, I know where to go with it. Do you know where to go with it? Do you know it's Jesus that knows how to deal with this kind of stuff? It doesn't need to kill you. It doesn't need to defeat you. You don't have to take your nervous breakdown today. You can just put it on hold. Have you seen him whom my soul loves? Have you seen him? I sought him. I went about the streets. I asked the priests. I asked the ministers. I asked the people. Have you seen him whom my soul loves? That's what every heart is crying out. They don't know it. They have no idea. You've got to give it words. You're not looking to be a millionaire. You're crying out, have you seen him whom my soul loves? That hot fudge sundae only going to put some more pounds on you, and you'll enjoy it for a little while, but you're really saying, have you seen him whom my soul loves? Have you seen him? My beloved, have you laid eyes upon Jesus? If you have, would you take me to him? Just take me to him. That's all you want. I don't want you to do anything. Just take me. Just introduce me to him. Sister Josephine one time came to me. We were doing Life in the Spirit seminars. I was like 22 years old, 23 years old. She's a big Irish nun. Gosh, she made you fear. She had this voice. But my God, and she wasn't talking sweet talk either. Don't give me that crap, she'd say. Honest. Well, anyway, I'm doing the Life of the Spirit seminars with her, and at the end she comes to me. I'm just a regular person who loves Jesus. I'm not a priest. I'm not a seminarian. Just a person who loves Jesus. So she comes up to me. She says, I don't know him. I said, what do you mean? I don't know him. I said, you don't know who? I don't know the man. I said, Jesus? Yeah, I don't know the man. Never met him. I've taught the scriptures. I've taught the John of the Cross. I've taught Teresa of Avila. I've taught mystical theology. I don't know the man. I said, sister, you must have met him sometime. When you were a child, Never met him. When you were never. Do you hear me? I never met the man. I said, okay. We're going to meet him now. Don't tell me something you can't produce. Oh, in her Irish accent, I tell you, she looked mean. Oh, I said, you're going to meet him tonight. I said, now I want you just now to shut up. I want you to close your eyes, and I don't want you to do anything but pray. You remember Sister Josephine? Yeah. Big woman. Mamma mia. I led her to a simple prayer that Jesus would come into her life and fill her with the Spirit and save her and cover her with the blood, and I just kept quiet, and the presence of God came upon her. She received the baptism of the Spirit. I don't know if it was that day or another time. And then she started to really teach and help addicts, hard addicts. She was just the person for it. She was a drill sergeant who loved Jesus, remember? But she never met the man. I was astounded. But there are lots of people who never met the man. She was honest enough to tell me. Let me tell you, when I was a seminarian, Hortense, there's another one. I'm a seminarian, and I'm doing, they called it census. I was supposed to go from house to house to house, okay? And I was supposed to take their information. I never did like 2 or 3 houses a day, because I would be preaching every time I went to a house. So the pastor said to me, we won't call it census, we'll call it parish visitation. I said, I don't care what you call it. Well, I'm on this dead end street, okay? And there's this lady, Hortense, and this other lady sitting on the stoop, like we do in East Boston. This is in, not Jamaica Plain, not Milton. What's that other place? Where is it? No, next to Mattapan. We're in Mattapan. So I go up and I said, I'd like to get some information. I said, are you Catholic? She says, I'm a Catholic and she's a Baptist. And I wanted to crawl under the bed. You know, this poor lady. I said, well, you know, I know a Baptist minister and I love her. Her name is Catherine Kuhlman. I says, and she's taught me more than any Catholic in the whole world. With that, Hortense says, this is the Catholic lady, I always wanted to know God like Catherine Kuhlman. I said, you can. Don't you give, she's a big woman, bigger than me now. She said, don't you give me any of that promises unless it's real. The poor Baptist lady now left. I said, let's go in your house, into your house. We went into her house. It was the downstairs. I never forget, it was Naughty Pine. It was dark. Not bad dark, just dark. Naughty Pine. We're both sitting on a couch. And I lead her in the prayer that Jesus would come into her heart and baptize her in the Holy Spirit. And the presence of God comes upon Hortense. And I just shut up. I just let God do what he needs to do. And now she starts to weep. And she starts to weep. And she starts to weep. And now she's weeping uncontrollably. And then she comes out of it. I said, what's the matter, honey? She said, I was expecting to see the crucified Jesus. And I saw the risen Lord. I do thank you for listening to In Season and Out of Season. This is Father Tom, and I'm really grateful to be able to come into your homes to proclaim the word of God. At this point, we have not received enough money for our June bills.
and we have not even begun to receive money for our July bill. So if this broadcast is a blessing to you, you write to Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. That's Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. One more time. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. As I've told you before, I cannot go into debt, and if I have to cut out stations, I will have to do that. So, if this broadcast is a blessing, if you've never written, please write Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. I do want to tell you that every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday, we'll be worshiping at the Holy Rosary at 4 o'clock. Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday. Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday. And we'll be worshiping at the Holy Rosary at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. This is the month of August, and every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday, we'll be worshiping at the Holy Rosary at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, praising God, for He is glorious and triumphant. I do also want to remind you about Jimmy the Roofer. And as I told you, you know, he did a job that should have been $20,000, and it wasn't even near that. And winter is coming, and he's taking appointments because he can only do so much. And his telephone number is 617-519-0341, 617-519-0341, 617-519-0341. And don't get caught with a hole in your roof. 617-519-0341. And again, I do need to hear from you. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. That's Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. May the Lord bless you and fill you with His Holy Spirit. God bless you.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.